Amen. And let's pray. Let's pray. Well, Father, that is our heart's desire, is to have our hearts changed. And Lord, it takes a broken spirit to come to the altar to confess our sin before you, Lord. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus that someone here has come in broken and in despair and will realize that they need a Savior, and that would be you. So Father, speak through Bill. Have our hearts be changed today. Renew our minds and our spirits. Enter in, Lord. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the food that's come in and all the clothes that have been come in. Everything here is always free. And Lord, we know it all comes from you. So we thank you in advance for the lives that are going to be changed today through your word. And we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now here's Bill.
Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be here today and looking forward to sharing with you. I have a message that God's laid on my heart that hopefully you'll receive. But you know what this represents? Before I even get into the topics, what I'd like to do today is I would like to blow a hole in what you believe. I would like to blow a hole in what you believe. Meaning, I want to challenge you as to what you believe and why you believe it. And let's see if it has any impact on how you feel about it after we talk about it. So today, we want to rethink on something. And what are we going to rethink about? We're going to think about, is what I believe today true? And how can I be sure? We're going to talk about, why is figuring this out so hard? We're going to talk about, why don't I want to figure this out and know for sure? Do you want to know for sure? Do you want to be sure in what you believe in? And then, what do I do now that I understand this better, etc.? So before we get into this, I just want to say a quick prayer, all right? Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that you love everyone in this room and want to have a relationship with everyone in this room. We thank you for creating us, Lord, and you said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God, may everyone in this room understand that you knew them before they were knitted together in their mother's womb. And you know them now, and you want to have a personal relationship with them. Help someone's ears to be open this morning. Help someone's eyes to be open to receive you, God. Because in the end, that's what matters the most. Knowing the Creator so they can come and spend eternity with you in Jesus' name. So back when things got started at the beginning, we had the Garden of Eden and everything was perfect. The lion could lay down with the lamb. Everybody was at peace. There was no sin in the world. It was a perfect world. That's awesome. But what happened? Well, you know, God made one simple rule, and he said, hey, whatever you do, don't eat from that tree in the center of the garden, because if you do, I got to throw you out of the garden. And then something happened. The serpent showed up, the devil, and he said, did God tell you that you couldn't eat from that tree? And Eve said, well, yeah. Otherwise, we can enjoy this garden and this perfect world forever. But the devil told her, well, do you understand why God told you that, right? Because if you eat from that tree, you'll understand the difference between good and evil. And he's like, really? There wasn't any evil, so why did she need to understand the difference? She bought the lie, and there's people that are still buying the lie today. Eve ate the fruit. She gave Adam some of that fruit. And that started us down a path of sin. Sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and it's still in this world today. It's reigning in this world. It's wreaking havoc and causing a lot of problems. But God has said, you're living in my house. I created this world. This is my world. This isn't your world. This is God's world. And if this is God's world and He made it, then we got to follow His rules. And if we don't follow His rules, if you lived in somebody's house growing up, hopefully you had a mom or a dad or a grandpa or an uncle or somebody made you follow rules. Because if you didn't follow rules, you did things however you wanted to, and I guarantee you got yourself in a lot of trouble at some point. Because we need rules. Rules give us guidelines to keep us out of trouble. So here's the major problem. We are no longer spiritual. And the Bible talks to us about that. In Romans 7, it says, I can anticipate the response that's coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I am full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then another, doing things I absolutely despise. You ever do something you despise? If you've lived in sin long enough, you've ended up in the ditch or the gutter. Not a fun place to be. But you put yourself there. You know you put yourself there. And the Bible says because you're not spiritual, you keep putting yourself back there over and over again. It's like, when am I ever going to figure out I am my own worst enemy? I made the decision to take those drugs. I made the decision to drink that alcohol. I decided to do things my way, and it's made me miserable. I feel like hell. Well, you're starting to get a taste of it, and if that's where you want to go for eternity, you're on the right path. Major problem. We think we are right. That's a major problem because everybody typically thinks, I got this figured out. I'm right and you're wrong. So if I sit down in here and I talk to you two guys, you're going to tell me what you believe and why you believe it. And I'm either going to have to say, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to have to line myself up with your belief because you're way smarter than I am. Or maybe there's some questions you haven't considered. And after you consider those questions, you reevaluate your position. And if you reevaluate your position, you might say, that guy made a lot of sense. Maybe I should change. Maybe I should change. But the Bible says in Proverbs 14, it says, before every man there lies a wide and pleasant road that seems right, but it ends in death. So the path to hell is paved with good intentions. The path to hell seems like a nice place to go. I mean, I remember that story of, you know, this guy that Satan said, hey, I'm going to take you to hell for a day. And he says, okay, I'll go there for one day and check it out. He gets to hell. He takes the elevator down to hell, and the elevator opens, and he walks out. Plush green grass. Just beautiful flowers and trees everywhere. And then at that point in time, he asks the guy, what do you think? He says, well, that's pretty impressive. He says, okay, let's go golfing. And they went out and they golfed 18 holes. Had a great time. It was beautiful. And the guy said, wow. They went back to the country club. They played cards. They smoked cigars. They drank for a couple hours. And he said, well, your time's up. He says, I'm going to take you back. He says, okay. So he got back up to earth and he started thinking, wow, maybe I do want to go to hell. And then all of a sudden, the next day, he got struck down and he died. And he took that elevator back down. And he's pretty excited about getting ready to go golfing again. The elevator doors opened up and there was the fiery flames of hell. There was the reality of what hell really was. And he goes to the devil. He says, devil, devil, I don't understand. I was here yesterday and we were playing golf. He says, yeah, yesterday I was just trying to convince you to get here, but today you're here. And now this is your eternity. Don't buy the lie. Your way's not right. Then in Proverbs, the message, it says there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. Wow. So when we think we're right, that's the possible outcome? Is that what you're saying? Another verse, and it's Proverbs 16:25, says the same thing. There's a way that appears right, but the end it leads to death. There's a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but in the end, it leads to death. So, you know, I had a couple of examples of in my own life where I was thought I was right. I was lied to as a child. My dad, if you've heard Elizabeth Warren, she's a politician, and she's gotten in a lot of trouble because she claimed to be a Cherokee Indian, and then they did a blood test and determined she wasn't Cherokee Indian. But she believed her whole life that she was Cherokee Indian. Guess what? I can relate to that because my dad said I was 50% Cherokee, and so the whole time I was growing up, I was convinced I was an Indian. Got into college, did a genealogy, found out I came from England. There wasn't a drop of Indian blood in me, and I had to say, what? But that's what happened to Elizabeth Warren. She was told the same lie her entire life. She bought the lie to the point she believed it. And that's the same thing that happens to us. We're told certain things for so long that after a while it just makes sense and it replaces the truth in our life. That's a problem. So, you know, then we had this really big court case here recently. Doesn't matter which side of the fences you're on. But there was the combatants was Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. Do you guys know who Brett Kavanaugh is? Okay. He's one of our U.S. justices now. He was confirmed and voted into the Supreme Court. Okay. But the problem was, while he was in the process of being confirmed, this lady came forward and said, Brett's a bad guy. He raped me 30 years ago at a party that I was at. And what was amazing about the story is the fact that people started popping up in the news being interviewed. Well, I believe Christine Blasey Ford. Well, I believe Christine Blasey Ford. Well, I believe Christine Blasey Ford. Well, I believe Brett Kavanaugh. Why? You haven't heard a word of testimony from either one of them. Were you there? No. Did you see it happen? No. How can you say you believe something when you have no foundation for that belief whatsoever? You don't know. And so then they had the testimony. And she said, well, I don't remember where it was at. I don't remember what day it happened. I don't remember how I got there. I don't remember how I got home. Now you're sitting there saying, wonder if she was right. And then they interviewed Brett Kavanaugh, and he brings out a journal and said, this is where I was every day of this summer. I wasn't at that party. My point isn't whether you believe her or him. It's why do you believe him? There's got to be evidence to substantiate what we believe. And if you believe something just because somebody told you, shame on you. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. In business, when business is messed up, businesses bring in consultants. When you bring in a consultant, the purpose of a consultant is to make you rethink your entire business strategy. And they start asking the whys. And it's understood that it takes five whys most of the time to get to an answer. Five whys. Why do you do things that way? Well, we've always done it that way. That's not a good reason to continue to do this. Why do you continue to do it this way? Well, because nobody wants to change. Oh, there's a problem. We don't want to change. So if I asked you today, are you a Democrat? Or are you a Republican? The question is why? Why? And the answer is typically because that's what my dad was. Or that's the family I was born into. Do you know what they believe today? What their platform is? Are you confident that you want to give your vote to what that represents? Because when you're a Christian, I tell you, you shouldn't be a Republican or a Democrat. You should always be an independent, and you should do what God tells you to do. And here to tell you also that when I was in high school, clear back in the 70s, I voted for Jimmy Carter as president. And Jimmy Carter didn't believe in gay marriage. Jimmy Carter didn't believe in abortion. The whole platform has changed. But my point is, I had to change my thinking to understand what was being taught and then make a decision based on that as to what was right. Not just do it because my parents did. You should be able to make these decisions for yourself. So here's an interesting thing. I was driving home from a mission trip from Oklahoma this past weekend, and there was a billboard, and it was Ashland Seminary, and I really liked what the billboard said. It said, "We don't teach you what to believe, we teach you how to think." It's a seminary. It's a Christian seminary. Why would a Christian seminary not teach you what you should believe? If I'm going to go to that seminary, I think I'm going there because it's going to teach me, it's going to strengthen me in what I already believe. But it's saying, no, we teach you how to think, not what to believe. Because if we teach you how to think, the hope is that the conclusions you come to are going to line up with what you believe already. At least it should when you study to show yourself approved. So it's interesting, and then I started thinking back. You know, I went to Malone College, but I didn't go to Malone College back in the day because I wanted to go into Christian studies, because it's known as a Christian college. I went there for a business degree. When I went there for my business degree, it was interesting. You know, one of the worst classes that I had to take was statistics. Tough course. Statistics. Man, you had to know your math. You had to have analytical thinking. You had to understand the foundation that everything was built on. And then if you got to this point, you could solve all these problems. Woo! That wasn't easy. Most people failed statistics the first time they took it. Well, I was a critical thinker, and I made my mind jump those hurdles, and I got an A in statistics. But then there was this other class that everybody was required to take. In other words, I could go to Malone College and get a degree in business without ever taking a Christian course except one. And that class was faith and worldviews. And there was a guy that taught that class. His name was John Guybe. I remember it like it was yesterday. But this was years ago. And this teacher came out and he said, guys, there's four primary worldviews. Just four. Said there's theism, there's pantheism, there's atheism, and there's agnostics. The majority of the world, 98% of the world, fall into one of those categories. So everybody in the world has studied what they should believe, and they've derived at one of four conclusions. So I'm guessing that the majority of the people in this room are up there on one of those categories. But then what really bothered me is it was a semester back then, so that's, I think, what, 11, 12 weeks? For the first week, this instructor got up there and says, I'm going to teach you why you should be an atheist. I had to sit there and endure for an entire three-hour class why I should be an atheist. He made an intelligent argument. He made me scratch my head and say, wow, maybe I should be an atheist. Maybe that's the right thing to believe. Something didn't feel right. Maybe you're sitting here today and you are an atheist. And you know, he said, you know, it takes more faith to believe in not believing or to be an atheist than it does a Christian. I said, how could it be possible you have to have more faith to be an atheist than a Christian? Well, first off, you got to believe everything's just one big accident. The Big Bang Theory just happened. Oh. Okay, then you got to believe there's no God. But I sit here and I look at this world and I know it's round. It's held the perfect distance from the sun. If it fell off that axis and it moved 2 inches closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If it fell off that axis and moved 2 inches farther from the sun, we'd all freeze. And then I look at the complexity of our systems and how does the water get from the top of a mountain to the ocean and back up again, and it continues a perfect cycle. You start looking at the complexity of your human bodies and all the systems that are held together in your body, and you're thinking, well, that doesn't make sense. So you have a conversation with an atheist, and it's the whys. Why are you an atheist? Because I don't believe in God. Why don't you believe in God? Because there's evil in this world. Why is there evil in this world? Because of that damn devil. You believe in the devil? You believe in the devil as an atheist? Well, yeah. Why? Because there's evil in the world. Well, how did the devil get here? And you start asking intelligent questions, and pretty soon it's like, well, somebody had to create the devil. Somebody had to create this world. This isn't an accident. Next thing you know, you're starting down a path of believing something different. Then the next week goes by, and he's going to teach me to be an agnostic. That's the one I never got. An agnostic? An agnostic, in my mind, if I could summarize it, if you're one, I apologize. But it's called the agnostic hotel because you're kind of wrestling between two beliefs. You're not quite an atheist anymore because you think the something stuff had to be intelligent and created. So you're stuck here in the middle, but you haven't come over here to believe in theism, one God. Okay? Those guys are just stuck because they haven't really figured out what they believe. So I'm just going to tell you, I had figured out what I believe, so I got past that one pretty quick. The next day, he taught us about, maybe you're a pantheist. That means God is everything and everything is God. That means God's in the ants, God's in the insects, God's in the birds, God's in everything. Well, that didn't necessarily make sense to me either because I don't think a bird has a soul or a dog has a soul. Don't get me wrong, I love my dog. But there's differences between animals and man. So something doesn't seem to jive. But my wife, I mean, you know, if a spider's in the house, I'm not allowed to kill that spider. I got to catch it and put it outside because I think she has a little bit of pantheism. I don't know. Uh-oh. But she's really nice to those insects and makes me be nice to them, too. Then you got the theism. What's theism? It's the belief in only one God. Well, there's three primary beliefs in one God. You're either Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. So he spent 3 weeks telling us why you should be a Jew. Well, Jesus was a Jew. I guess I could consider that one. Okay, we got past that. And then the next week he teaches us, you know, the next one. You know, why you should be a Muslim. I didn't like that one. I didn't like the idea that I would be rewarded for killing people. That didn't sound right to me. Okay? I would be rewarded and I would violate 50 virgins because I was being rewarded. What God would violate women to benefit me? And then the next week he spent the week teaching us about Christianity. 1 week. So we're 8 weeks into this course and I don't know what I should believe because I've gone to this class. 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, guess what? It's your turn. You have to write a term paper, you have to pick a worldview, and you have to justify why you are what you are. You're either a theist, a pantheist, an atheist, or an agnostic. You're either a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. They can't all be right, guys. They can't all be right because they contradict each other. Which one's right? And so I put together my worldview, and of course it was a Christian worldview. And I'm like really nervous because now each student, and there was 20 students in class, spent the next 3 weeks getting up and presenting their worldview. And I was really proud of myself. I got an A+, okay? But it made me think through every possible option and decide why those didn't make sense. It made me not just believe, but think to be assured that the position I was taking was accurate. What have you chosen to believe today? What have you chosen to believe? What do you base that on? How do you know you're right? Are you sure? Have you tried it and tested it? How do your friends feel about it? I'm not saying that they're right either, because normally, we follow our parents, we follow our neighborhood, we follow the nest we was built in, and our nest might be our biggest problem. Get out of your nest! Use your mind! Think for yourself! So that just really challenged me. But then, you know, then I hear guys get up and, man, the agnostic got a D. He just didn't have a good position. He didn't have good arguments as to why he could be an agnostic. You know, the atheist got up and it's like, and after each presentation, the teacher started asking those tough questions again. Why are you the atheist? Why do you continue to believe that? After you've heard all these other teachings, why are you so sure in your position? And the atheist stood up and said, you know, after this class, I'm not so sure I should be an atheist. He got a C. Well, guess what? Think about it. There's reasons. God wants us to be spiritual, but we struggle in being spiritual because now God has us where He wants us, with all the time in the world and next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all His idea and all His work. Again, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. God wants you to understand all this. That's why He sent Jesus, to help you understand these things. We got to understand from our own perspective that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. That's our sin nature that I talked about. We're not spiritual. We have a sin nature. We make bad decisions spiritually. God doesn't want us to do that. So then, you know, the test. I love the fact that the Bible says takes us to the world, faith and worldviews class. The Bible says don't believe what you believe just because somebody told you, but test it. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure it's true. You know, none of the other religions said, try me on and make sure this is true. They just say, believe it because I told you to believe it. That's interesting. But the Bible says in John 9, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He does not listen to people who respect Him and who do what He wants them to do. And when I say the test, my point was to ask you, do you believe God hears all prayer? Because most people believe God hears all prayer, and then you you go to God's Word and you realize, well, the Bible doesn't teach that God hears all prayer. In 1 Peter it says, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are open to their supplications, but the face of the Lord turns His back on those who practice evil. When you're practicing evil and you're living like hell, God's not hearing your prayers. He only hears one prayer out of you at that point, and that's the prayer of repentance. The prayer of, God, I did it my way. I screwed up. It wasn't working out. I'd like to try your way. I'd like to start new. He'll hear that prayer, but He doesn't hear your prayer just because you pray or you think He should. God has rules, and we got to follow God's rules. In Proverbs 28, He says, He who turns his ear away from listening to the law of God and man, even his prayer is repulsive to God. What? I've always been told that God hears everything I say. Well, He does hear, but He doesn't receive it unless it comes from a righteous person or someone that wants to have a relationship with Him. Why would He listen to your prayer when you could care less about God and how He wants you to live? Why would He? His Word said he doesn't. So you say, this is not what I believe. Well, so what? You can say, I don't believe that. God hears all my prayer. Well, you're welcome to think that. But I challenge you to rethink that based on what the Bible teaches. What you believe only matters to God if you believe in His Son and that He sent Him to redeem you from your sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And if God is our guideline, our baseline, our witness, then it's pretty important you understand that. So the facts and the truth. Like I started to tell you, I love the fact that the Bible teaches us that He says, don't just believe things on their face value, but hear them out, listen to them, examine them, and see if they're true. In 1 John 4, it says, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in this world. Lying preachers? You mean that every time I turn on the television or go to the library and get on the internet, that what I'm listening to might be their agenda and not truth? Yes, that's what I'm here to tell you. There's lying preachers in this world today. Here's how you test for genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you've heard coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. And then another verse says, I like this. Are you gullible? Do you believe things just because people tell them to you? The Bible says, don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. I'm here to tell you that as I've been sharing this word with you and this message with you, don't believe it because Bill Head said it. Don't believe it. But test it. Test it. Study yourself. Establish for yourself what the truth is. And if it lines up with what I'm telling you today, believe it. Receive it. And seal it in your heart. You know, there was three Jewish boys that were put to that test. I mean, the king comes and says, hey, I heard that you weren't bowing down to me at 2:00 in the afternoon. So you know what? I'm sorry, but we have a law and I have to throw you in the fiery pit. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? We trust in our God. So go ahead, throw us in. Boy, that's believing to a point that it matters, isn't it? And they came out of that pit and they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Guess what? King Nebuchadnezzar believed at that point. He realized that God was real and he was sincere. So that's a big deal. But here we got to understand this spiritual side. In John 8, it says, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It doesn't matter what you believe. It can lead you to hell. What matters is what's the truth. The truth is the only thing that can change your life. The truth is the only thing that can give you hope. The truth is the only thing that can transform you. In John 9, it says that Jesus then said, I came into the world to bring everything into clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, since those that have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. He's saying, I'm going to expose those people that are lying in their teaching. Jesus did that. And boy, is there a lot of verses coming up about that. 77 times, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had to correct the religious people of the land. 77 times he had to say, you scribes, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, you priests, don't get it. You're teaching a lie. And he had to correct them publicly. How do you think that made them feel? But here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter. They were teaching a lie. They were teaching a lie and they needed corrected. And if you're believing a lie, you need corrected. So Jesus just came and said, that ain't the way it is. 20 times Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say to you. In other words, he's being a little softer in his presentation to correct them. But he's correcting them nonetheless. I want you to understand that there was these key groups of people. The scribes, and we could talk about them at length. There's the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and then the chief priests. And I would have gone into all the detail about them, but here's the bottom line. Every one of those groups wanted control of the church back in the day, and so they taught things their way, and they tried to get people to believe them, and Jesus blew them all up. So you know what they did? They trumped up charges against Jesus, and they took him to the cross. It was the church that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Romans. It was the high priest that demanded that Jesus be executed, not the Romans. Why? Because people don't like it when somebody comes up and says, brother, you're believing a lie. It's a lie. Stop. And you say, well, I really don't care, man. Get out of my face. You know, well, you don't have to care today, but someday you're going to be at the great white throne of judgment, and God's going to ask you the same question. And you can't tell God to get out of your face because it's judgment day. It's time to own up for what you said you believed. Matthew 24, if anyone tries to flag you down, calling out, here is the Messiah, or points, there he is, don't fall for it. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials and dazzling performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. But I've given you fair warning. Jesus came and he said, those preachers are in the world today when he was here. And guess what? They haven't left. A lot of them were television evangelists today. Ouch. Take it to heart. It's true. They gotta be teaching Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, and his resurrection, and only that. And if they start trying to bring in their own agenda, don't swallow it. Jesus called them out and called them lies. So the result is Jesus speaking to those types of people. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those who enter who are trying to. Jesus went on so many different verses and he called them out and said, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgences. Another passage said, and dead man's bones. Wow. And those were the guys that were teaching the Bible in that day. They were teaching the Old Testament in that day. Ouch. So again, there's 77 verses like this that Jesus is laying the wood. He's taking the scribes, the Pharisees, to the woodshed. He's just letting them have it. So you might have noticed in walking around on the back of my shirt, this verse is printed because we just did a vacation Bible school to the Kickapoo Indians in Oklahoma. And this was our memory verse.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He wants to rescue you from the dominion of darkness. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, not your head, your heart, you have darkness in your life and you don't even know it. And I'm going to tell you, when we went to Oklahoma this year, the pastor said, there's been multiple suicides in the community. There's been kids killing kids. There's a darkness over our community right now. And we came and we shared the love of Jesus for a solid week. It was about Wednesday and the pastor came up and he said, I think the spirit of darkness is lifted. I think we're taking our community back. When are you going to take your soul back from the devil? When are you going to say, I'm done dancing with you, devil? Boy, what this guy is saying is making sense. He wants to rescue you. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He sets us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. That's what God wants to do. And if you let him take you out of hell's dungeon, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When's the last time somebody looked at you and said, you're special to God? That God loves you that much that you're special to him. I haven't quit on you. I still love you. I still want to bring you into my kingdom. I made you. I know the number of hairs on your head. When you cry, I bottle your tears. I know every time you've been that tough guy that wouldn't own up to it. But then when you lay your head down on a pillow at night and you think nobody's watching and you cry because your life sucks, God says, I put them in a bottle and I'm waiting for that day you cry out to me and you come back to me. The rescue. Matthew 4, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus is shining his light in this room right now at Jesus Ed Ministries, and he wants to bring you to that light. He is the light. The verdict is in. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light will prevail. John 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how you lived, if you call on Jesus today, you can get out of the darkness and into a light of life. So guys, there's several other verses on this, but I want to say, in my study of faith and worldviews, it became even more clear, and my faith was never stronger. When you study to show yourself approved, a ready workman of God that need not be ashamed, that rightly divides the word of truth, you have confidence when somebody asks you questions and are struggling with their own faith to answer them. Because you know that you know that you know that Jesus has proven himself to you true over and over and over again. And then if I looked at that population of those four worldviews, the theists, the pantheists, the atheists, the agnostics, guess which one is the most believed religion? Christianity. Why? Because a lot of people have studied it to see if it was true, and it made the most sense of every other worldview. Why doesn't it make sense to you? There's either a lot of dummies in the world, including the person that's talking to you, or there's a lot of people that's figured this out and are going to heaven. I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. When Jesus says, I am the way, he's the only way to heaven. I am the truth. I am the only truth in the world. Anything else you believe is a lie. I am the life, the only one that can give you eternal life. But guys, there's two gates. There's a narrow gate and the wide gate. I got to ask you, which gate are you going to choose? It's a choice. One leads to destruction. One leads you to the hill of Calvary. It's narrow. So when I take that last pass at this, that last hole. Now these things happened to them as examples were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. If you thought what you believed was right when you came in today, I warn you, take heed. If it's not accurate, you will fall. And you won't like it when you fall. And I'm not making you fall. It's not my fault you believed what you believed. It's not my fault that you believed your grandfather, and your grandfather might not be in heaven today because of what he believed, and he taught that to you. Guys, we got to believe what we believe for our own self. We got to let it resonate in our own spirits. So it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you were taught. It doesn't matter who taught you. It doesn't matter how sure you are. It doesn't matter how confident you are. There's only one thing that matters. It only matters what you can prove that you believe in. And if you can't prove it, if it can't be proven, you're living a lie. Guys, I want that everyone in this room be saved. And Jesus' very words said, I wish that none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hope today I've shot a hole in what you believe. If anything else, make you go back to the Bible and study and reassure yourself that what you're believing in is truth. Guys, it's important. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus into this world to redeem us. So now what? The altar's open. You can start making things right by turning to Jesus and asking for forgiveness. Your journey back may be long and hard, but it's well worth it. Come back to the cross. Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of hiding from God? Don't you realize that sin's prison has got you in bondage? Satan lies to you. He takes you where you don't want to go. He keeps you longer than you want to stay. And when you decide you want to leave, He won't let you go. Right now, He's trying to convince you, stop listening and go eat. But I encourage you, you need to come to the altar and accept Jesus. If you've been running from Him, or your worldview isn't that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. He died on that cross. He was dead for 3 days. He rose from the dead, and He came back to the world and said, I'm back! I told you I'd be back! The only God that has ever been in recorded history, in many, many recorded history books, that He showed up after the Romans killed Him on the cross. If I'm going to believe somebody's God, I want it to be somebody that can conquer death. And He conquers your spiritual death today if you come to the cross. Father, I thank You for everybody here for receiving this message. Lord, I thank You for Your love, God, and Your calling to us. I just ask that somebody in this room will have received this, Lord, and whether it's before they eat or after they eat, Lord, that they come up and say, I need Your prayer. I need to understand this God that You talked about. I need to be taught how to think. And today You challenged me on that. I'm going to stop believing just because somebody taught me something. And I'm going to start thinking about it as to whether it's true. That's resonating in my heart. Help me to receive that. If that's you, this altar's open. Thank You, Jesus, for the work You've done in us today. Bless these in Jesus' name. Amen.